We are continuing our series on the Ten Commandments. And this morning we come to the commandment that talks about the Sabbath, the way of life for the Sabbath. And so I would invite you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, or follow along on the screen there as well. Remember the context, right? The context is that these passages, these commandments, are written and are summarized by the great law of love that God gives us through Jesus Christ, right? That the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love others as yourself. And that is the context of that. Jesus says that all of the law and the prophets are summarized by those two commandments. And so if we read a commandment and it doesn't seem to fit with the law of love somehow, then we have misunderstood. We have not understood properly what is going on there, right? Never, ever forget that context. So let us read this passage this morning. God gives this commandment to Moses for the people of Israel, but then it also, just like all of the other commandments, flows down to us through the ages, and we receive it as God's holy word for us. So God says to Moses and to the Israelites and to us, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word of the Lord. Amen. There are a couple of things that we need to note beforehand. Interestingly, one of the things that we need to note is that this commandment and the one just after this about honoring your father and your mother are the only two commandments that are written in that are phrased positively, right? So that it doesn't mean that all the other commands are bad and these ones are good. No, no. What it means is that the other commandments are written in terms of you shall not. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet, right? You shall not create for yourself other idols. You shall not worship any other god. These are the only two commandments that are framed positively. You shall honor the Sabbath day. You shall honor your father and your mother. You see the positive nature of that. Now, as a pastor and as a theologian, as a thinker, I'm not exactly sure what to make of that, but it is worth noting, right? There are promises attached with this as well, right? Notice that in honoring your father and mother, right, the promise is that your life may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. These are commandments that are written very explicitly for our good. Not that the other ones are not, right? It is good for us, for our own good, to avoid being murderers or adulterers or anything like this. But this is a gift. Both of these are gifts to us. Right? That is why Jesus can later on say that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. This was made as a gift for us. The other thing that we need to note is that, you know, of course, we celebrate the Sabbath generally on Sunday, which is actually technically the first day of the week, and there's a whole history of how that came to be, which is fairly simple, and I'll go into that in a minute. But the Israelites were called to celebrate the Sabbath on the last day of the week, the seventh day of the week. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 13 for a moment, if you turn with me to the very beginning of Exodus chapter 13, you'll see something else interesting. In Exodus chapter 13, we read at the very beginning in verse 1, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal.'" And then if you move on, to the end towards 16, chapter 16, "And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." God wants the Israelites, because of how he drew them out of Israel, or Egypt rather, God wants the Israelites to dedicate every firstborn child to him. I find it interesting that our God, who says in the book of Revelation that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, also claims from us the beginning and the end. All of the firstborn children, all of the first fruits, all the first fruits of your labor, what you create, is God's. And the end of the week is God's. Beginning and end belong to God. See, it makes sense. It makes sense that God, who is the beginning and the end, would claim also from us the beginning and the end. It is shorthand for saying that everything you are, everything you do, everything that you think belongs to you belongs actually to me, says God. Right from the beginning to the end. And so as we look at this Sabbath way of life, as we look at this commandment to honor God with the end of the week, or in our case, the beginning of the week, whatever it is, we need to remember that it is serious business. It's not something to be sloughed off. It's not just something that we can say, "Oh, well, you know, this commandment for sure, because of Jesus, we don't need to worry about it all that much." Right? We don't need to worry about it. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and so we don't need to worry about this. No, no, no. We do need to concentrate on this. It is important. Not only because God commands from us, claims from us appropriately the first and the last, but also because this is how we were designed to live. We were designed to live with rest, and specifically rest in God. It is incredibly important for how we were made to live. One of my favorite books of all time, besides the scriptures themselves, one of my favorite books of all time is this book here. And I've showed you this book before, I think. But if anybody ever wants to borrow this book, you can. But you have to return it, or I will have to hunt you down and do nasty things to you. So, it is called The Sense of the Call, A Sabbath Way of Life for Those Who Serve God, the Church, and the World. I'm joking about doing nasty things to you, by the way. I wouldn't do that. It's written by a lady named Marva Dawn. It is a fantastic book. And in it, she goes through not just the Sabbath in terms of the specific day, the seventh day of the week or the first day of the week, but she goes through a Sabbath way of life. Living Sabbathly in every aspect of your life. And so a lot of what I'm going to speak about this morning is drawn through scripture and also through the lenses of this book. Would encourage you to check it out at some point. And we're going to focus on four aspects of Sabbath: resting and ceasing and feasting and embracing. These are four things that were built into the Sabbath celebration of the people of God, the Israelites, but also need to be rooted in our lives. We need to have those things. A brief little explanation about why we have Sabbath on the first day as opposed to the seventh day, just so that you're not wondering about that the whole time. Most of you probably know it already. But the reality is that in the early days of the Christian faith, the Jewish people, who were those who were largely Christians in the very early days, they would go to synagogue on the Sabbath and they would continue that practice. But then they would also gather together on the first day of the week as Christians, partly because that was when Jesus rose from the dead, right? And he is our new Passover lamb. And he is the one who was raised to salvation for us, right? And so they celebrated kind of a new Sabbath feast. As Jesus was the new Passover lamb, they sort of shifted over time to worshiping primarily and celebrating Sabbath primarily on the Sunday, on the first day of the week, when Jesus rose again from the dead. There are still Christians, Christ followers throughout this world who say, no, we ought to stick with the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, and so they celebrate on the Sabbath. The Seventh-day Adventists are examples of a denomination where they worship primarily, their Sabbath day is primarily on the seventh day, Saturday, instead of on the Sunday. I think, however, to focus too much on that would be to lose sight of the picture, right? To see only the trees and lose sight of the forest. And so we're going to move on and we're going to talk specifically about what Sabbath means. Jesus was very good. He talked about this on numerous occasions, right? There was questions from the Pharisees about whether or not it was legitimate to heal people on the Sabbath, and Jesus would show them by healing somebody on the Sabbath. There was questions about whether it was legitimate for somebody to pull out their donkey out of a ditch on a Sabbath and not. And Jesus said, well, yeah, I mean, if you've got an emergency, you've got to do what you got to do, of course, right? And Jesus, you know, his disciples were caught taking grain from a wheat field that was full for the harvest and eating it as they went, which the Pharisees defined as work. And they said, oh, shame on your disciples for taking grain. And Jesus said, well, no, that's not the way it is. I mean, the Sabbath was made for us. Didn't you know that David went and ate, on the Sabbath and gathered grain and did these things and on, right? We hear about, not walking too far on the Sabbath. We hear about all kinds of rules and regulations on the Sabbath. And we may laugh a little bit at some of those things, but really that history is not necessarily all that far away for us, is it? How many of you, for example, were not allowed to ride your bicycles on the Sabbath, right? You weren't allowed to ride your bicycles op Sonntag, right? Or other things, right? There was op Sonntag, for those of you who are not Dutch, means on Sunday, right? There was all kinds of other stuff that you were not allowed to do on Sunday, right? Because you were supposed to be resting. And that's not to say that those things were poorly intentioned or badly intentioned, right? There was often a genuine desire to honor God on those things. But they also sometimes missed the mark or the purpose of the Sabbath. So let's talk about that. I mean, the first thing about the Sabbath that's very clear, incredibly clear from the passage that we look at, is that it was designed for rest, right? God himself exemplifies this in that he created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. And that is what you are supposed to do. Now, that is a principle, though, that extends beyond just a single day. It's interesting. I've mentioned this before, but if I were you, I wouldn't remember it. But it's interesting that the Jewish day, when does the Jewish day start? When's the beginning of the day? You're not allowed to say. When?
Sundown,
right? So a day for a Jewish person starts when the sun goes down, right? And it ends then the evening of the next day. Okay. Our day, normally, when we think about it, our day starts when we get up in the morning. But interestingly, notice what the Jewish person then is doing at the start of their day. What are they doing? They are eating together. They are praying together. They are worshiping together. They are going to bed and they are resting. That's what they're doing. They are starting their day resting in God. And trusting that in the night, God will prepare for them whatever they need for the next day. Right? We have these sayings, the early bird gets the worm, right? In other words, get up and get to work and do the thing. The start of the day, we're going to be productive. We're going to do it. It's all about our own strength. It's all about doing things in our own power and ability. But the Jewish people had things framed completely differently. You start by resting in God. And so they rested not only on the Sabbath, but at the start of each and every day. Not only that, but they were called, even their farmers were called to rest the land. Right? Every seventh year, the fields were supposed to lie fallow. Right? There was rest on the Jubilee year for the whole nation, including restoration of land and property that was supposed to happen. Rest was something that was designed to happen daily and weekly and yearly and on. It was built into the very fabric of their lives. Of course, we have a very different conception of this in our day and age. Our world tends to say that you need to work all the time. You need to work, 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 work in order to get ahead on things. And who really cares whether it's a Sabbath day or a Sunday or whether it's evening or whether it's day or whatever? So if you're ambitious, if you want to succeed in life, then you better work. On the other hand, if you don't particularly care about success, but instead want to be entertained, the flip side of that is that there's lots of opportunity for that too. You can fill your life with all kinds of entertainment as well. There's the two extremes in our world. Either the push, 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 work, 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 succeed, 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 or the entertain hedonist, watch like a couch potato life that our world seems to shoot for. But instead, the Bible, and Jesus in particular, teaches us a different rhythm of life. He teaches us to rest. And not just any kind of rest, but rest in God. What does Jesus do when he needs to rest? I'm asking you to put your thinking caps on. He prays. He goes off and talks to God. Right? But not just talk to God, but also listen to God. What do you do when you need to rest? You don't need to answer that, right? You can think about it. What do you do when you need to rest? Is praying one of the things that you do when you need to rest? I don't know. Maybe it is. Awesome. Great. Grab onto it. Hold on to it. It's fantastic. If prayer is not restful for you, then maybe there's something wrong with the way that you pray. Right? Because lots of us, when we pray, we come and we have our little list, right? And we are, whether it's mental or physical written list, we come and we pray. We say, okay, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Please be with this and be with that and be with the other person and do this and do that. And okay, good, I'm done now. I will see you later, God. But that's not talking with God. That's talking at God, right? If you are quiet, in quietness and rest is your salvation, right? Be still and know that I am God. If your prayer is about taking time to be with the one who loves you more than anyone could ever possibly do and listen to him, then you get rest. Try it sometimes. I'm serious. I've talked to our catechism class about this. It's hard. Sit there and listen to God, right? Find a quiet space for yourself, maybe outside if you're that kind of person, maybe inside, whatever. Doesn't matter. Find yourself a quiet place. Find yourself 15 minutes. Try it for 15 minutes. And try not to think about anything in particular and just listen to God. Try not to think about their grocery list. Try not to think about what your kids are doing. Try not to think about the problems you have at work. Try not to think about what you're watching on TV. Try not to think about anything but listen to God. You can pick a little passage, a little Bible verse to try and meditate on and chew on. It's hard to just listen to God. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, it's also hard to listen to the people who are right in front of us often, right? So how much harder when we don't actually see God often? But try it. It's good. I gave our catechism class the idea of if they get a thought during those 15 minutes, which they will, right? Just write it on a piece of paper and then throw it away, right? I got to do groceries, crumple, 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 throw it away, right? Oh, I got to bring the kids to the dentist, crumple, crumple, throw it away. I wonder what's happening with my robot in the dairy barn, crumple, crumple, throw it away, right? Listen to God. Rest in God, right? Prayer is about learning to rest in God, among other things. Rest in his grace. It is a gift to you. Ceasing. There are lots of people who find it very difficult to say no to things. And I'm sure that some of you are those people, right? I know I am. It's difficult sometimes to say no. But as I've said to Gwyneth many times, there are always an infinite number of good things that you could be doing. But God isn't actually calling you to do an infinite number of good things. Right? God doesn't say, in your strength and in your power and in all of your doing and busyness, my strength is made complete. No, no, no. He says, in your weakness, my strength is made complete. You've got to say no to something. If you find yourself unable to find time to rest and be quiet, if finding 15 minutes a day to sit down and listen to God is not possible for you, then either you're deceiving yourself because it really is possible and you're just sort of trying to find excuses, or you've got a real serious problem because you are working and doing too much. And 15 minutes is not even what God calls us to. God calls us to a lot more than that, right? The Israelites, they had the whole evening where they were resting in God, feasting and celebrating and praying and worshiping and sleeping, right? And then every Sabbath, one day out of seven, they were resting, not doing any work at all. And this is what they did, right? Not to mention the yearly and the monthly celebrations and the, you know, the celebrations that were beyond that, right? They had all kinds of feasts as well. We need to stop listening to the world that says you need to go, 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 go. And we need to stop listening to the world that says, just enjoy, just enjoy, just be entertained, right? Because that's not it either, right? This is all focused on resting in God, not resting in the football game, not resting in whatever, but resting primarily in God. And you may watch the football game while you're primarily resting in God. I don't know. That's between you and God to figure out. But it's not about resting in the entertainments of the world either. You stop listening to the world. The third thing that we look at, resting, ceasing, and feasting. The Israelites always did that too, right? And that's part of the call of Sabbath, is to feast. I think that's one of the reasons that we love potlucks, right? Every church loves potlucks. I think, I don't know, I've never met a church that didn't. Part of the reason is that we have a longing to feast together. Right? When we gather around, often when we gather around in our homes for a party or whatever, the central place that we're hanging out is the kitchen or the dining room table. We're eating, right? We're feasting together. In fact, one of the huge metaphors for life in paradise is a banqueting table at the wedding feast of our God. You sit and you eat and you talk and you rest in God's goodness. We have a Bible verse that's plastered up above our dining room table, and it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I love it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Feasting, right? Feasting and ceasing, or feasting and ceasing and resting and embracing. Embracing. You see, that is what the Sabbath is about too. It's about community. It's about family. It's about embracing the other. It's about embracing God, who embraces us as well. Right? In feasting together, in resting together, in ceasing together, in doing those things, we also are called to embrace what God has given us as a mission and a vision. Right? To share His good news of love throughout this world. On the Sabbath, in a Sabbath way of life, we are recharged to go out and to give and to serve and to love. Not in our own power, but profoundly out of the power of God alone. See, Sabbath is a big deal. It's important. It's not okay to ignore the Sabbath. It's not okay to build up all kinds of rules and structures around the Sabbath either. The Sabbath was made for us, and us for the Sabbath. Not us for the Sabbath, excuse me. Brothers and sisters, we need our Sabbath way of life. We need to rest and cease and feast and embrace this way of rest in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you Thank you that you have promised to give us rest. Indeed, not only have you promised to give us rest, you do, you hold out rest to us. Graciously, daily, hourly, weekly, yearly, monthly, all of our lives, you say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, help us to be your followers also in this. Not that we run around pretending or being actually so busy, thinking that somehow we are being productive and that we are working for your kingdom, when in fact we are filling our lives, as Martha did, with busyness. Help us instead, O God, to rest and cease and feast and embrace in your name. That when you do call us to work, that we are doing so out of the strength that you provide and not out of our own. Oh God, you are good and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen.